bright lights, big city. Going to my baby's head. Oh, bright lights, big city. Going to my baby's head. That man talk, 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 talk. I don't believe a word he said. Go ahead, pretty baby, honey, knock yourself out. Yeah, go ahead, pretty baby, honey, knock yourself out. Oh, still love you, baby, but you don't know what it's all about. Come on, Tony.
There you go. That's Loreen and the Maxwell Street Blues Band with Lori Lewis on vocals. Why don't you quickly introduce the band? We got a couple minutes before the news here.
Tony Brown on lead guitar and also vocals. DC back there on the drums. Stewart on the bass.
Now, we're going to talk about, in the next half hour, we're going to talk about the Randolph Street Market Festival, which is where I saw you guys. But you also have kind of your roots in the Maxwell Street scene. Real briefly, talk about how those two things connect. Kind of whet our appetite for the next half hour.
Well, we play the Randolph Street Market once a month. And Sally Schwartz has that market. And that's a great, great antiques market.
Full weekend of every month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And they have wonderful bands there. They have bands all 2 days, every Saturday and Sunday of the last weekend of the month. And we play there regularly. And the Maxwell Street Market, they're both open-air markets, so they're really great. But they're very different. They're very different in their character.
Yeah.
The Maxwell Street Market has always been an immigrant market. It's over 100 years old, and over the years, it has been prominently whichever the main immigrant group was at the time. You know, in the early part of the 19th century, it was a lot of Jewish immigrants and Eastern Europeans. In the middle of the century, towards the 1940s, 50s, it was a lot of African Americans. Right now, it's a lot of Mexican immigrants. So.
Maxwell, yeah. And I should say the Randolph Street Market's at 1341 West Randolph.
Yes.
A little more of an upscale audience. I've only been there once.
It's in the West Loop, which is just booming and very, very hot.
But boy, I saw you guys on a Saturday afternoon, though, and it was great. There were families. I saw you get that a lot. I mean, I was just there. I saw you one time, but kids were dancing and stuff. Little kids.
Yep.
Yeah. It was really, really sweet.
Yeah.
So we're going to take a break for the news with David James. I'm going to come back. I'm going to play a couple more songs. I also want to talk about what goes on at the market, talk about the vending and stuff like that.
Great.
So don't go away on Nocturnal Journal on WGN. Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal, and we're talking about the Randolph Street Market Festival, a little bit about the history of the Maxwell Street Market. And coming in to join us now is author and dealer Dwayne Scott Cerny. And a fascinating book you wrote here, Dwayne, Selling Dead People's Things. And I'm going to try to get the tagline, Inexplicably True Tales, Vintage Fails, and Objects of Objectionable Estates.
Very good.
That's a lot there. But anyway, it's a really fascinating book. I've read bits and pieces of it, but not the whole thing. It's really, really good. There's so many things. Let's talk about the Randolph Street Market. How'd you get involved with that? And especially from your eye, I want to tell the listeners who've never been there, it's an interesting place. I like the fact it's in the old Union Hall and the Plumbers Union thing. So talk about the market and how you got involved.
I've been friends with Sally for about 20 years and was involved with her before the market. And I sat on her advisory board.
She has an advisory board?
Yeah.
Okay.
She brought in a number of dealers, which is just how smart she is, to really be plugged into what dealers need to display their wares. And she's just very hands-on in that respect. And, you know, Randolph, as she often says, when she first began the show, you know, all there was at 1340 West on Randolph was Harpo and the porno theater.
Yeah.
And now Oprah's gone, and it's just Sally and the porno theater.
Yeah.
But the market has so evolved, and she's reflected the business, and she's really been ahead of the curve, which you need to be in order to be successful, in that the business just keeps skewing younger and younger. What's hot now, of course, is, you know, vintage vinyl, fashion, vintage fashion, 60s, 70s, 80s. Now, yeah, to a lot of the listeners, it just go like, well, that's not antiques. You know, they get all kind of bent out of shape about it. But it's vintage. And the younger people, you know, a lot of them really, really don't even understand arts and crafts, things like that.
Yeah. I was sent there to do a story, actually, for Treasures. This magazine comes out of Iowa.
Yeah.
And the spin they wanted, and I'm kind of into this, I bought a little mid-century in Westchester, was mid-century modern stuff. Have you seen that? You've got background. You're co-owner of the Broadway Antique Market up in Edgewater, 6130 North Broadway.
Correct.
That's 20,000 square feet.
Yes.
So are there trends? Is mid-century a trend? Or what's going on?
That's been a trend for us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Since the get-go. And that's part of the bond that I actually have with Sally, is that, you know, just getting together and kind of brainstorming where is the market going? And you just really need to listen to people, and they'll tell you what they want. I think we're even kind of getting into the mid-century market is so solid, which is now people are looking at 70s and 80s. 80s fashion is a big deal. 80s vinyl is a big deal. Now, you know, you wouldn't really call it mid-century modern because people just think 50s.
Yeah, right.
So it just keeps evolving, and that's just the way to kind of, you know, stay ahead of the curve.
And I believe it's in the book, you say sorting trash from treasure is what I do.
Right.
Elaborate on that. How do you do that?
Carefully, so I don't make mistakes.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I mean, my purpose is to help other people make money. And I'm good at that. I have 75 dealers that I represent and sell their things. And Randolph Market, which I love about tonight's show in general, is you know, you think about it, we're kind of skewing off of the whole state fair. Well, this is a city fair that goes on monthly. Uh-huh. And talk about bringing a community together.
That's real important. Yeah,
and there's an economy to it. So, I mean, this is people's livelihood. WSLE has hundreds of dealers, and this is what these people do, you know, for a living.
How many dealers are there at Randolph?
Depends on the month, but it can easily be 200 or more between inside and out the season. But
yeah, it's indoors and outdoor. Well, you know that. Yeah, inside and outside.
And I often jest that, you know, the antique people are kind of carny folk, uh-huh. kind of circus people going from town to town doing shows, things like that. You know, but you need a good, safe, well-run show to make a living. And Randolph supplies that, and that's because of Sally. Yeah. She's just put the town on the map. I mean, people fly in from everywhere to go to this show.
It's got everything. You got a little bar area, and you've got the live music and food, and it really is like a little county fair.
Yeah, and it's very much a community.
Yeah,
you know, and it's an economic community. And I go back to the money, but that's what it's about.
You have a fast. I mean, you have plug your blog. I mean, besides the book, you have this blog. Selling dead people's things?
Yeah.
And I was reading the July 4th entry you had, as big brand retail loses its wag, resale finds its swag. So, I mean, this whole resale thing is really coming up, I mean, just across the country.
Yeah, it has been, yeah. And it's really kind of rebranding itself. You know, we're all looking at this like, the death of brick and mortar.
Right.
You know, it's a phase that this thing is going through. But yeah, my business is up 10% over last year. I know Sally's market. She's got dealers, you know, looking for space. Again, it's kind of recognizing the internet, making it part of your, you know, business. And it can totally be done, but you need to embrace it, and you need to listen to your customers. You need to just go with the times, and the people who don't are the ones that fail.
Lori, when do you guys play there? Do you have a certain time?
Generally play on the Saturday slot from 3 to 5.
3 to 5.
Sometimes different times, but mostly that slot.
One reason I ask that question is: there times you wander around and buy stuff for yourself, or do your band members do that?
And, I like to get there a little bit early and wander around, and I just love to look at all the things, and I do tend to buy at least one thing.
Yeah, yeah,
hard not to.
yeah.
They have very very interesting things there. The very eclectic mix of things, and there's always something that catches your eye.
I really like the space. That's kind of an Art Deco space, that old hall. You know,
the plumbers.
Yeah,
yeah, it really yeah. Is. Yeah, it really is. Yeah.
The murals.
We got time for a quick little song, Dan. Okay, do you guys want to play a little something? And that ties into are you plugged in at the market? Electric?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Tell us what you're going to play here.
Tony is going to play Help Me. The song that we did just play was a Jimmy Reed, Eddie Taylor song, and they are very much Chicago roots blues.
Yeah, sure.
Uh-huh. So that's why we chose that song. Tony's going to play Help Me. Maybe he can tell you a little bit. You can tell him a little bit about that?
Do I have to?
Yeah, just take it away. Yeah.
All right, we're just going to take it away.
You gotta help me. I can't do it all by myself. Yeah, you gotta help me. I can't do it by myself. Now if you don't help me, I need someone else. I might have a little cook. Yeah, I might have the soul. Might wanna wash. Might even mop the floor. But baby, I can't do it by myself. If you don't help me, find me someone else. Oh, when I walk, walk with me. When I talk, yeah, you better talk to me. Oh, baby, I can't do it by myself. Now, if you don't help me, find me someone else. Talk to me, baby. I can't do it by myself. Now, if you don't help me, find me someone else. Someone else.
Loreen and the Maxwell Street Blues Band, and we'll be back more after this on Nocturnal Journal. Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN. We're talking about the Randolph Street Market Festival with a little homage to Maxwell Street. In the time we have left, though, I want to talk to our guest, Dwayne Scott Cerny, about his book, Selling Dead People's Things. How'd you get into this? I mean, how'd you decide to write a book about it?
99% of the antique and collectible books that are out there are all about identifying what something is and what it's worth. And people always say to me, you know, gee, what you do must be so much fun. And what's fun about it are the people that I meet and the objects. And so this is a book about, basically, I take the reader on, you know, 25 of my most interesting house calls.
Oh, that's great.
And they're, it's a very much a Chicago book. There's a chapter where I met the granddaughter of a woman whose parents survived the Iroquois theater fire of 1906, and the object which she inherited, which changed her life. There's some things. The reason the word inexplicable is in the title, because there are some things that just I've experienced. So there's some.
Well, Lori, I like the story of the gentleman who had a sex change at age 60 and became a Democrat.
Yeah, published in the New York Times.
So I mean, he became a Democrat because of the sex change.
So you, real quick, we only have a few minutes, but what happened there? I mean, you went into the house and just started asking questions.
I thought it was a fantastic kind of up. You know, we've talked about hoarders. This is like more upscale hoarder. So this unbelievable house with all these incredible.
What neighborhood was it in Chicago?
Incredible things in the western suburbs.
Oh, the western suburbs.
Too specific.
A lot of Republicans.
Privacy
in the
out there, and then it was there's closets full of men's clothes and women's clothes, and then I ended up buying all these political buttons, and they were from Democrats and Republicans, and I said, oh, this is a mix match couple, these two not so green acres, and the guy said to me, no, these are all her clothes, and this is all pre Caitlyn Jenner. This is 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was what I learned from this is, you know, you just don't judge.
Don't judge, right.
Right. Right. And the guy who was running the sale said to me, you know, I knew this person when he was a man, and when he was born, he wasn't more one way than the other, and then his parents had like corrective surgery in the 40s. That's what they did.
Yeah.
And
so it's visits like that that inspired this book.
Exactly. Yeah. Which, you know, you're not going to hear that on Antique Roadshow.
No.
Yes.
I want to plug, how can people find the book? It just came out 2018. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. 10 days after it came out, it was the number one antique and collectible book on Amazon.
Okay.
Buy it on Amazon. You can go to the website and read more about it, sellingdeadpeoplesthings.com.
And will you be at the Randolph Street Market?
Yeah, I believe I'm going to be. Everybody wants to be someplace in October.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of a dark book, but it's also very funny. It's been getting fantastic reviews. I am thrilled.
You said you're never disappointed at a hoarder's house. You should come see me, but I'm still alive.
slow me down.
Why is that? I mean, how do you separate? What do you walk away from, I guess, is where I'm leading to.
The stories. Even when I don't buy the item, or I can't buy the item, or they're not ready to sell an item, I come up with the stories, and that's better than anything, because I get to share that.
Yeah.
And that's really the purpose of this book. And again, very much a Chicago book. You know, there's got to be half a dozen stories that people connect back to the Eastland disaster. I just didn't see anything else like it out there.
And I don't want to... I want to talk about upcoming gigs, but you attended the Northeastern Illinois University on a full poetry scholarship, and I asked you this before the show, awarded by Gwendolyn Brooks. I know she's poet laureate, but she actually gave it to you?
Personally. Actually, she was on the committee that decided that I would get the poetry scholarship.
What a great thing.
I remember when she told me I would do these poems and they would pretty much offend everybody, which I think is why I won this. And she says, you're the kind of person who has the power to make it over the long haul.
Really?
And I'm like, on the verge of 60, and she was absolutely right.
Well, good for you. That's great. Lori, tell us about upcoming gigs and how people can find you guys and find out more about the band.
We do have a Reverb Nation page. All of our social media is listed under Loreen's Live Blues. That's Loreen's Live Blues. Facebook is a good place to catch up with us. We do have a Maxwell Street Market gig coming up on August 19th. We generally play there the third Sunday of the month this year. And then our next Randolph Market gig is on September 29th.
September 29th.
Yeah. And you can find us, we're every Wednesday at the Waterhole. The Waterhole is Chicago's juke joint. It's 1400 Southwestern, and there is no cover charge and free parking, so it's a pretty awesome thing. They have music almost every night there, so it's really a great place.
How'd you find your band?
We met at the Maxwell Street Market.
Oh, that's
courtesy
great.
Of Steve Balkin, who is a professor at Roosevelt University. His specialty as a professor is open air markets, and he loves Chicago blues. And he called me up and said, "Lori, there's not much blues music now at the new Maxwell Street Market. Will you help me get something going?" And I said, "Okay." So he arranged for me to go down there and meet up with some other musicians and start a jam. And when I went down there, nobody showed up. But I was already down there with all my stuff, so I decided to set up anyways. And then I had fun. And the next week I went back again, and Stuart showed up. And he said, "Are you going to be here next week? I'll bring my stuff." I said, "Okay." So he came and started playing with me, and then pretty soon DC showed up, and Tony showed up a little bit later, and we had some other folks that were kind of in and out, and by the end of the summer we had a band.
That's what I like. It's rooted in authenticity.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, I know you said you have some background with Honey Boy Edwards too, late Honey Boy Edwards.
I started hanging out with Honey Boy in my early 40s, and I was not playing guitar when I started hanging out with him, and he's kind of the reason that I started to play guitar and picked it up.
You guys are great. When you were doing that Jimmy Reed stuff, it reminded me a little bit. You had a little bit of Janis Joplin in there. You know, I heard that. Well, thank you so much. Thanks for coming down
to
the Skyline Studio. Thank you, Loreen and the Maxwell Street Market Blues Band.
Yes, Tony Brown, Darnell Conley, D.C.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for coming to see us.
Thank you.
And Dwayne Scott Cerny, I love this. Selling Dead People's
Things.
It's
awesome.
Inexplicably, true tales, vintage fails, and objects of objectionable estates.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you for listening. Thanks, Aubrey Mumpower
Thank you,
and Dan Long, and we'll see you soon on WGN.